like to call to order the regular monthly meeting of the Board of Respiratory Care Examiners on March 15th, 2018, and it is 9 a.m. As a reminder, this is a professional board in a professional setting, and when we are speaking, we ask that you not be speaking over us, and we will give you the same courtesy when you are up here speaking. If you are here for CEUs, did you sign in the back? Everyone signed in? And if your name is on the agenda, you're not eligible for the CEU, so just an FYI. So please make sure you've signed in appropriately. We will start with introductions. My name is Tracy Kagan, and I am chair of the board. Let's
go this way. Michelle O'Hare-Schattenberg, board member.
Kathy Rainier, board member.
Alan Crawford, board member.
Michael Belair, board member.
Jack Confer, executive director.
Mark Harris, the board's legal advisor.
Kathy Stone, board staff. Charlotte Mohammed, board staff.
Thank you. Okay, we will begin with approval of the consent agenda, which includes items C1 up to and including C8.
Madam Chair, I move that we accept the consent agenda as stated.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor of approval of the consent agenda, say aye.
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 I do aye.
Abstain until figure
out. Okay. Any opposed, say nay. Motion passes. All right. We will move right into R2, consideration and action on investigation of possible unprofessional conduct. I will try and get you in the order if you signed in when you're here. So the board will call the case of Amy Alex, case C003853-18-012333.
Madam Chairman, my name is Troy Anderson. I'm an attorney retained by Ms. Alex. Where would you like us to stand?
I think we're sitting at this table right there, at the edge there.
Fine.
Yeah, right
fine.
At that table there, please. You can bring another chair around. Kathy, do we have a microphone for over there for them?
Okay, so did you click on Amy Alex?
This whole room is new to us, so forgive us if we're ready here. Okay.
Good?
Yep, proceed.
Okay, I don't have any idea.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is case number C003853. RCP Alex was charged with a DUI on December 14th, 2017. The board did receive a self-report that was on January 18th of 2018. RCP Alex has a prior arrest for DUI from 2016 in California. On December 14th, RCP Alex was arrested for two criminal counts, DUI alcohol and or combo, and DUI with alcohol concentration of 0.08 plus. As of today, the board has not been notified of any final resolution in that criminal case. RCP Alex did not report this matter within 10 days as required. RCP Alex did disclose that original DUI from back in 2016 on her original application for licensure, and that had occurred prior to her application with us. The board did receive a response from her and her attorney, Mr. Anderson, and then there was a supplemental response that we received by letter within the last week that is part of your materials.
Okay, thank you. This is an allegation stage, which means you will have 5 minutes to tell us anything and everything you want us to know about this. After that, the board will have conversations with each other, but nothing back and forth with you. Okay, the floor is yours.
And Your Honor, if I may, or Madam Chair, if I may speak for Ms. Alex. In the first place, we'd like to address the issue of the reporting. The delay in reporting was due to no attempts to avoid responsibility for the reporting requirement. The delay was simply a miscommunication between Ms. Alex and my office. We are representing her in the criminal matter. And there was simply some confusion about how to report and when. As soon as we were able to clear up that miscommunication, the self-report happened immediately. And the self-reporting requirement, of course, has two main elements, the first being that a person with a license does report to the board, and certainly She did do so. The board didn't become aware of this through any means that I'm aware of other than her own self-report. So this isn't a situation where an investigation proceeded and then she attempted to report. So certainly, at a minimum, she abided by the spirit of the requirement. The delay was due merely to miscommunication. As to the counts of DUI, there is no final resolution in the criminal case as of this point, but I would like to point out that the two counts of DUI were arising out of the same incident. An incident in which Ms. Alex was out to have a night of fun with friends when she had just barely started and received word that a patient with whom she had grown close and worked closely had passed away. And so Ms. Alex, who, as I said, had only started the evening, she had two drinks of alcohol but believed that she was still safe to drive. Was very disturbed by getting that news and did drive home, at which point she was stopped by a police officer. There was a breathalyzer test that showed an alcohol concentration of 0.087, which is slightly above the legal limit. Now, I'd like to point out that Ms. Alex thoroughly believed that she would not be above the legal limit at that point. She thoroughly believed that she was not impaired by the effects of alcohol and that she was completely safe to drive. So this decision was not, it was perhaps ill-advised, considering the potential effects of alcohol. This is not a situation where she was very, very drunk, or a situation where she was being, reckless in determining that she could drive anyway despite being falling down drunk or anything like that. This is a situation where she was slightly over the limit, believed that she would not be. She certainly feels great sense of responsibility for that, feels terrible about that whole situation. And she would additionally like the board to know that she is very desirous that she be able to keep her license, be able to keep her job. She loves working in respiratory care, and she is very excited for a long career in the field and hopes that the board will consider her sincere and heartfelt actions, consider her potential future in the field, and in whatever judgment the board decides is appropriate, we just ask that that herself be allowed to continue and keep her license and her job. Thank you.
Thank you. Board members, no conversation back and forth, just amongst ourselves.
So she was licensed May 25th of 2017, so the prior DUI occurred before licensure. My theory is that we await the court's decision.
Well, as in table it?
Yeah, this is a second offense, and if the prosecutor's doing the job up in that jurisdiction, they're going to find it. She's going to be subject to some more severe penalties than just your standard. It's an 08. I get that. They may deal it. I'd be on board with tabling that issue. The issue that I think we need to resolve or can resolve is the failure to report. She may have gotten bad legal advice, and she needs to take that up with her attorney, but quite frankly, bottom line is it's her responsibility.
Agreed. And failure to report is failure to report. Mm-hmm. No matter who tells you
correct
when to or not to.
So I would, I guess we need to separate these. So I would, Alan, you want to?
So, I'll make a motion that, regarding the failure to report, that we institute a civil penalty for failure to report within 10 days, to be paid within 60 days.
Non-disciplinary.
Non-disciplinary.
And that would have to go as a consent right now because we're at an allegation stage. And 250?
Correct.
What's the standard for 250?
Okay, so that was a motion.
Yep.
And
we have a second. So we have a motion and a second to offer a consent for a civil penalty of $250 for the failure to report. Michael, are you abstaining from everything today?
Yes,
are you
ma'am.
Just kind of watching everything? Okay. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to make sure. All in favor of offering the consent, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, say nay. Okay, that motion passes. And now regarding the DUI portion.
I would be on board with tabling this pending the final resolution.
I think that's what we've done in the past.
So I'll move that.
So we have a motion and a second to table until we have resolution of the DUI. Any conversation about that? Any further?
Any estimated time? I mean,
This happened in December. I didn't want to jump over you, Jack, but it could be. I don't know how slowly they move up there. It could be maybe a couple months. I don't know what the next court date is. There was a February court date noticed in the materials. I don't know what happened at that court date, whether it's set to trial, it's been reset for pretrial. I don't know. So we don't have that information. So 90 days.
So the reason I asked that, Madam Chair, members of the board, is that because this is in a second within a relatively short time frame, whether or not the outcome of the criminal matter affects our decision, do we want to look at any type of rehab in the interim? Do we want to look at a standard rehab agreement and offer the consent to resolve it, or do you want the final of the criminal case?
I mean, I kind of wonder if going the way of a consent is where we would end up anyway. I mean, not a consent, a probation is where we would end up anyway.
Non-disciplinary,
right?
Yeah, I don't know. I think the alcohol concentration is relatively low here. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not condoning what happened, but I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm thinking out loud here. What have we done in the past with the
standard
order probation?
It's been a variety of things.
Yeah.
It has depended on the individual facts in the case and whether it's resolved first or second time, between the first, second, or third. So there's not just a standard matrix that we've used. It's been a case-by-case basis.
Yeah, I get that, and I understand that, Jack, but I want to kind of maintain a certain amount of predictability, let's say that, for lack of a better word. And if you come into this situation, here's kind of what you can expect most of the time.
So we have a motion on the table.
I'm going to withdraw that for now.
For table. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So that's been withdrawn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any other thoughts?
So within the standard order, she would have AA. No breathalyzer.
So a standard rehab order as we have it now, and I apologize for not having it on our materials, that is a 3-year term of probation with stipulations. Stipulations are, number one, no alcohol. If you're under doctor's care, you have to notify the board of those medications. AA or NA classes on either a 2 or 3 week per week basis. All that's reported to the board. Reports from the employer. I said abstinence from alcohol. And there's notifications for out of town. And then there's also random bodily fluid testing. So where the respondent would, if called for a drug test, would have to appear within 2 hours of that call to get a urine sample done. There's some other various reporting as far as address, out of town, and so forth, but that's 3-year probation with standard rehab terms.
So here's my issue with that, is with some of the terms, I guess, and we have discussed this before with the AA and NA, there are other programs,
mm-hmm.
and forcing someone to go to AA or NA is not always beneficial or the right thing to do under that circumstance. So I'm not in favor of making that a term. There's going to have to be some sort of counseling or proof of counseling participation. The other issue that I have is the interlock device. It's her second, if she's convicted of the DUI, it's obviously going to be a second offense and she will be required to have it. If they offer her some sort of other than a DUI resolution, she's not going to be required to have it. And I don't know if this board can make that kind of an order
for something she may or may not have by the courts?
Yeah, I don't know if the Interlock device providers will take an order from this board to do that. I don't know what those off the top of my head.
Or is the Interlock device only applicable if ordered by the court?
That's my question. I don't know.
So if that's in the standard order of probation, and the Interlock device is not ordered by the court, is she considered out of probation?
We have, Madam Chair, members of the board, we have not had that situation. We have either negotiated the reporting for the Interlock in the agreement or excluded it.
I suppose we could word that if required by the court and or the motor vehicle division.
Right.
You could put a term there, if ordered as a result of any criminal matter or any other order that it be included in the agreement. I guess you probably could write that.
Right, because it certainly can't hold her out of probation if she wasn't ordered it.
Madam Chair, members of the board, you certainly can word your consent agreement that way, although it's, in a perfect world, we would be very specific and not be contingent upon events to occur in the future. One of the things that you can do is consider making a motion one way or another, but if you decide to include it as a term of probation, ask board staff before it goes out to make sure that you're not putting in a term that can't be complied with. So to make sure that whoever provides these interlock devices will accept a board order, or just anybody coming in and wishing to have one installed in their vehicle. And if it comes back that that's not possible, that they require some sort of court order, then we wouldn't make it part of probation, because you're right, we wouldn't want to set her up for failure.
Right, correct.
Maybe one of the things, Madam Chair, members of the board, you might want to do is just ask the licensee, what is the status of the criminal? When do they believe that there will be a resolution of the matter?
Except we can't talk to them.
So we've taken a little more stringent on the 5 minutes of the interaction at the initial review of the allegation, but
I apologize, I didn't mean to speak.
No, you're fine. I just want to make sure I don't.
In other words, there is some leeway if the board wants to use it in this particular case, as expressed by Mark.
Okay.
So perhaps counsel can tell us when the next court date is.
Yes. We are set for a change of plea hearing on April 11th, at which point it is the intention to enter into a plea agreement that the prosecutor has offered due to issues with the California DUI, not an Arizona DUI. She will be pleading guilty actually to DUI impaired to the slightest degree as a first offense, not as a second DUI, so she will not be facing those heightened penalties. However, MVD is likely to require an interlock device even if the court does not. I'm not sure if that information will be helpful for the board.
Okay, thank you.
So, that answers my question.
If the board is thinking they want to go in the direction of a consent offer for a standard rehab, if they are, my suggestion would be to direct staff and make your motion for the next step of the process and formal interview with direction to staff to offer a consent agreement with whatever terms you feel standard or with or without certain terms. And then pending that, if it's accepted, it resolves the case. Otherwise, it'll get to an informal interview at a future meeting.
Okay.
If you feel that way.
Well, I think that would be better than just tabling it. Tabling it just leaves it out there in the open, and I don't really like that.
I don't either.
So if we were to go make a motion to go to an informal interview, but have a consent on the table if things are resolved between now and when the informal interview happens, a consent for a standard order of probation, a possibility. What say ye?
I'd be on board with that.
I'd be on that too. So, some more motion that?
And I'm sorry, counsel again, what was the next court date?
April 11th.
11th. Okay, so that's before the
next
meeting.
It is before the meeting.
So that would be perfect.
April meeting is the 19th.
Correct.
So you want to motion it?
So I'm going to move that we set this to an informal interview, and in the meantime, staff can offer the standard 3-year rehab probation
consent, non-disciplinary,
with the standard terms, with the issues that we discussed here today, as far as the, with the caveat with the NAAA terms to be appropriate as far as counseling. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So that's my motion. Move it to an informal, and then offer the consent.
Okay, so we have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to go to an informal interview, but to be able to offer a consent for standard or order of probation after court date resolution. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yes.
That's the motion, that's the second. Okay, any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed say nay. The motion passes.
So we're going to send consent agreement offers to us to create some standard terms. After you receive that, feel free to give me a call. We can chat about some of the terms and so forth. Okay. Thank you very much for appearing.
Thank you both for being here. All right, I'm going to do a little jumping around for people who are here. So the board is going to call the case of D'Amica Porter, case C003843-18-011361. Good morning.
Good morning.
You can have a seat.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is case number C003843, involving RCP D'Amica Porter. RCP Porter received a complaint from an unverified individual alleging a pattern of verbal threats and harm to family members and the general public. On December 12, 2017, the board received an online complaint from an unverified individual alleging various threats, verbal statements against family, friends, patients, that sort of thing. RCP Porter was notified of the complaint and responded to the complaint and basically explained that she does not know who this individual is, does not know where the allegations came from, and doesn't understand why somebody might have followed it. She did, however, respond that she feels she might know who did it as a former family member from out of state, I believe. Is that correct? Staff has tried to contact the person, the individual that filed a complaint several times, and we have not received any response to any of those phone calls, so we were unable to verify any of the allegations in the original complaint. And I believe, did I get an email from you this morning also?
Yes.
We did receive one additional email as a letter of support recommendation on her veracity and ability to safely practice respiratory care in Arizona this morning. I did not have time to print that out and distribute it to the board, however. Staff has nothing further unless there's any questions from the board.
Okay, thank you. You also, because we're in an allegation stage, will have 5 minutes to tell us anything and everything you want us to know. After that, the board will have conversations with each other, but not back and forth with you.
Okay. As he stated that the person that's in the complaint by the name, that goes by the name of Rachel Cornelius, I never met this person a day of my life. My assumption is it is either under an alias name that of someone that probably doesn't exist, or the person that filed the complaint is related to, which would be my child's father. Back in December, the only thing that I can recall is that the two of us were going back and forth about child support. And it's ironic, when I pull up text messages in my phone, it's dated for December the 12th. And then he called and said I had a complaint, which is very absurd, very to the extreme, because I was reading over the complaint, and it actually stated that I was homicidal, suicidal, and I was going to kill myself, my kids, and those around me. That complaint is very much absurd. That's out of my character. I've been working in healthcare for 15 years, never had any problems with any of my licenses. I have a letter of support, as I said, that I've submitted. I also brought two more letters of support with me, if they can be presented as well. I have integrity. I work too hard to get my respiratory license. When I came to Arizona, I moved to Arizona 6 years ago. I didn't have anything. I didn't have a job. I didn't have clothes, car, nothing. I went directly with my purpose to go as respiratory. The person that made this complaint, I'm assuming they did it out of spite to try to basically rip everything from under me. They wanted to see me basically suffer and not be doing as well as I'm doing. There's no physical evidence. There's no police reports to back this up. As he stated, my child's father, I can't say that this person, who this person is, I don't know this person. However, but my child's father lives in Missouri. And if this complaint has anything that's associated with him, he went directly to the board. He didn't go to the police. Or if he feels threatened, I'm in a different state, you see. I don't go back to Missouri. I've been back one time in 6 years. It's just not me. That's just not me. And furthermore, as I stated, I had two co-workers write up a letter. There's a letter in his email. I've also noticed that there are a few co-workers here that work with me right now at Hacienda Healthcare that are here for CEU purposes, but one of them is actually a lead RG, so he's my charge RG. I don't know if he will be willing to vouch for the type of person that I am. Just overall, I do believe that the complaint was done in spite to try to ruin my life and my well-being. And just more consideration, as we stated before, this person, I have the slightest clue. She could be sitting in this room right now and I would not know that she's here because I never met this person. And she made a complaint, and as he said, he tried to contact her. We don't know if the number's real. We don't even know if this is a real person. She didn't answer, she didn't respond. I noticed that he left her several messages. So the person had plenty of time to talk to the board and prove their case. But they basically made this complaint just as a way to try to basically cause some type of distress, is what they were doing.
Okay, thank you. Board members.
I'm going to move to dismiss.
I'm going to second.
We have a motion and a second. Do we have any discussion?
No prior history. Unable to get a hold of the...
Right. All in favor of dismissal, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Motion passes. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on. The board will call the case of Dale Sandy. Case C003836-18-002731. Is it Sand or Sandy?
Sandy,
okay, thank you. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
Madam Chair, members of the board, RCP Sandy was arrested for DUI and related charges on November 10th, 2017. The board received a verbal self-report on November 14th of 2017. On November 10th, 2017, RCP Sandy was arrested for four criminal counts of DUI, DUI of liquor with a blood alcohol above 0.08, failure to stop when peace officer command and reckless driving. Board records indicate that RCP Sandy had several prior arrests and convictions for DUI, drug-related offenses dating back to his original application in 1993. Those attachments are included. At the time of writing of this report, I did not have a response However, we received a response that has been included in materials this week. I don't have any further comments. We got that on March 13th, and RCP Sandy is here to discuss the allegations with the board today.
Okay. Similar to the last couple, you will have 5 minutes to tell us anything and everything you want us to know. After that, we will have conversation with each other, but not back and forth with you.
Okay.
Okay.
One of you folks all got a copy of this?
Yes.
Okay, good.
If that's your letter.
Yeah, I know.
That you faxed over on March 13th.
Faxed over and didn't sign it, yes. I'm sorry about that. I noticed that just now. Back when I got the DUI in 2001, I believe it was, I stopped drinking, don't take any drugs. I went in for a series of operations, which left me basically dead at one point in time. When I went in for my shoulder operation, they gave me a minimal amount because, as you guys have read, the war on opioids. When I went back and explained how painful this was, a month later they said they were going to wean me off the 7.5s that they gave me to 5s. Actually, that was the night that I took the available pills that I had only to get a good night's sleep, and that was it. I remember taking them at 7.25, saying, all right, I'll be asleep by 8. I don't remember anything until the next morning. Turned out I'd gone to a bar. I never go to bars. This incident is so much not me. The last 15 years, 16, 17 years, I can't even remember. So I just basically wanted a good night's sleep. I took the pills that I had available for me. And the next thing I know, I was waking in the morning and told what had happened. I would never, at this point now, realizing how lucky I am for everybody involved, that nobody got hurt, just my vehicle. I would never even think about doing what I even did at that night, ever again. And I plan on retiring in a couple of years, and I just have a lot going on right now, so it won't happen again. I didn't come here with my lawyer because I wanted to speak as a respiratory professional, not legal professional. That's pretty much it.
Okay, thank you. Board members, comments, thoughts?
Okay, so
at the court.
What page are you on now? Do you know what page you're on?
I open them individually.
Oh, okay. No, if you look at the top there, if you have the, you should have a, if you kind of maneuver the mouse over and drop
the
down.
Top of the PDF bar, I'll
yeah.
show you what page you're looking at.
Yeah. I'm trying to find the court stuff.
Let's see what's the number up here. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I open them individually. I don't have 19 or 25 pages open.
Okay. Where's my court stuff?
For me, it's on page 27.
27?
What's the document that you're asking about?
The court documents. Are there some?
Mm-hmm, there.
The public access information starts on 462. That's just the Arizona Supreme Court.
Okay.
And then.
130 is the Chandler
page report.
That's what you want.
Yeah, I need the court documents.
Chandler. Chandler Police Department starts on 473.
No, I got different.
Yeah, we have different.
I've got it open to individual, so.
Okay, we'll have to work on 31 next week.
31?
Is what I'm reading. It's the Chandler Police Report.
Okay, I'm looking for court, Chandler Court documents. Did you get those? Did we get any of the thing from there?
The summary of charges are on 42.
Okay.
Related text.
Okay, that's still... It's still all part of the police report.
Right. You're looking for something that's going to say Chandler
the
court.
Municipal court.
Okay.
I'm not saying anything.
I don't see anything.
I'm not saying... The only... Public, all the other public access part.
Okay, that's where.
And everything else is.
That's
Chandler.
On page 21.
Oh, okay, I
keep
see.
Keep going
now. I see it.
Oops.
What's that right there? So that's where they start. Yeah, this isn't the court documents, this is the police documents. Right, where do you ask about police documents?
Court.
No, she wants the court documents.
No, on 21 is some case from 2001.
Yeah, there's nothing from 17.
Mm-hmm.
No. Uh-oh.
So is he another one we can ask if this has any trial date or any date set up? Jack?
Yeah.
Okay. So is there any date with a court set up at this point?
I do believe I have something coming up March 28th. But I'm not sure. My lawyer is working with the prosecutor to basically get this dropped.
So it doesn't look like there's any court docs for you even available yet.
No. And if if it's not a final disposition, then there's not going to be too much. It's going to be out.
Okay, so what do you guys want to do?
I don't know. There's a history. There's DUIs, there's reckless, driving a wrecked up car. I don't know.
So at this moment, we might want to see after resolution.
Mm-hmm.
Two DUI, a failure to stop at a reckless driving. Any thoughts, board members?
I'm interested in hearing what the court's going to come up with at the end of the month.
Okay, so.
So my personal thought would be we either table it until we hear the results of the court hearing, or do we offer a traditional order of consent?
Or do we do like the last one where we went to an informal and I'm going to say just an informal, move to an informal?
With a consent.
In the meantime.
Or an order of probation.
Dependent on what the courts do? Or just a consent.
I'm just either a consent or.
Well, he recorded it with him.
Mm-hmm.
He did.
Yeah, we don't have that issue.
Yeah, that's not an issue.
I'm sure what the court's going to do.
Madam Chair,
mm-hmm.
Members of the board, if I ask this RCP Sandy a quick question?
No, please.
When I got your response from March 13th, and I went through the history there you had disclosed to the board. I was concerned about your practice. I wanted to know if you were working in a hospital during those instances that you disclosed on your March 13th response. And also, are you practicing today?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so when you were going through all of the health care that you mentioned and so forth, were you working during that time?
A lot of the time, no, I was at home because I was just wasn't clear to go back yet. I was in too much pain. I was when I had my sepsis, it basically came on over the course of time that I didn't even know I had it until I was brought in, and that's when they said I'm gonna die.
So my concern, RCP Sandy, is that while you were going through that. Mm-hmm. You never reported any of that to the board that you might not have been able to safely practice respiratory care. And you are required to do that pursuant to the statutes. So now here we are after, 2 years of this, and now we have another incident. And my question is, are you safe to practice right now?
Oh, I don't take any drugs or drink. That was only done when I was released from the doctor. I stopped taking any narcotics.
Do you see my concern though? Do you understand where I'm coming from?
I do, but I didn't know I was supposed to tell you if I was... I still don't understand that part. Where I'm supposed to tell you if I feel it's unsafe?
If there's any potential violations of law and professional conduct.
Oh, I don't believe there was any during that time.
Is that something that you would have disclosed on a renewal application? When you answer all those questions, am I safe to practice?
Oh, I felt I was safe to practice all along.
Okay.
I've never had a problem. I've never been written up. I've never been reprimanded.
Well,
I get
okay. All right, thank you.
Most of accolades in the hospital, basically.
We just had this little blip on your radar.
Of the incident on the 10th, right?
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So I'm leaning towards moving this to an informal with a consent for an order of probation pending the resolution of the court hearing at the end of the month.
Okay. Is that a motion, first of all? Or is this just talking?
Having conversation.
Okay. Are you going to say
bro now?
No. Okay. Michelle.
No, I'm leaning in that direction as
okay.
Well.
Michelle.
Yeah, I'm probably good with that. And the reason is he's obviously was drinking and he's admitted to taking drugs, has no memory of any of this. I mean, that's an issue. Wrong way driver, I mean.
Okay, then I'll go ahead and make that a motion to move this to an informal with a consent for an order of probation pending the resolution of what happened on March
20th. I believe so.
Okay, so we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Yes.
We have a motion and a second. Do we have any further discussion? All in favor of moving to an informal but with a potential consent for standard order of probation. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed say nay. That motion passes.
So that, just for clarification, that's a standard rehabilitation agreement.
Correct.
3 years probation with all the terms. And if he signs that, it resolves the case no matter what the criminal outcome is.
Correct.
Thank you. Thank you for coming down to the
thank you.
Okay, good luck to you.
Well, I'll need it, thank you.
Okay, moving on. The board will call the case of Seth McGowan, case C003845-18-009322. Good morning. Thank you for being here. You may have a seat.
Thank you.
Chair, members of the board. This is case number C003845. Respondent is Seth McGowan. The complaint is about Mr. RCP McGowan's termination from Kingman Regional Medical Center because of a failed random drug screen. RCP McGowan tested positive after submitting a random saliva test for occupational health at Kingman. The board was notified of his termination on January 3rd, 2018. And the termination was based upon the policy in place about drunk workplace policy. RCP McGowan did respond to the complaint. It does not deny the reasons for the termination, however, stated he was not aware of that particular policy. He does, let's see here, and that response was received within the 20-day time frame.
Okay. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Like the other ones, you'll have 5 minutes. Tell us anything you want us to know, and then after that, the board will talk amongst themselves without conversation back and forth to you. Okay, the floor is yours.
I just wanted to start. When I started respiratory therapist, I was the youngest respiratory therapist. I started at 16 for the schooling. I had to get special permission from the board to go to school for it. When I graduated at 18, I started doing respiratory. I was from the military. I received an injury in the military caused by medical discharge. I hurt my shoulder. I had started taking prescription pain pills and muscle relaxers to help with the pain because it was either that or surgery, and even the surgery isn't a guaranteed fix on the pain. So that was pretty young in my life. I was only 20 when that had happened. And my doctors had tried different medicines, different physical therapies, just different things to try to get my chronic pain under control, all while I was working. And I never once did not report. I always reported to work ready for duty, always wanting to pick up extra shifts, help out anyone. I was never in a bad mood. And most jobs I usually attain lead or supervisor position. I've never written up. I've always put the patient first. That's how I was raised. That's what got me into respiratory. Because the therapist showed me and my family compassion when I was only six. And that's what I kept going, both my mother and I, both were therapists. And so about the allegations, roughly a year ago, my brother had put me on to getting my medical card from medical marijuana. And I looked up in the policy from CARMC and the drug-free policy, it does state that an employee can have their MMJ card and it will not disqualify them from employment or from a chance to hold a job. It doesn't say anything about special provisions or special positions or safety titles, as they put it. And when I asked them to provide this, they couldn't. I had to go to a lawyer to learn about all these other little stipulations. So I wasn't aware that I was even breaking any rules. I was aware that I was trying a different form of medicine that was better than narcotics. I didn't want to become addicted. I wanted to be there for my kids. And ever since I've gotten my card, I've been able to do the physical therapy, get back in the gym, be 100% for my kids, be 100% for my job and my family. And I don't want to jeopardize that, nor would I jeopardize that knowing getting my card would have put any jeopardy. And I even submitted to file the KRMC drug policy, and right under, I think it's paragraph B, the very first paragraph, it does state that employees can use over-the-counter or prescription medications, and that does include medical marijuana, and that the hospital may use the state verification system to test, to verify your license, which I did bring with me. I never once received a write-up while working there. I worked on both days and nights. I was a lead therapist. My boss is still offering to give me my job back, depending on the results of the hearing today or whatever the resolution is. He's still willing to offer me my job back because I was, I believe, a very great employee and a great asset to the team. And I don't believe that my medical card had anything to do with that. And I even reported to the random, not knowing that I was doing anything wrong. I reported just like they'd asked, within a timely manner, did it, and then went right back to work. I never once used my medication prior to going to work, or while at work, or on the premises. I followed their rules to a T, and I did everything. I always put my patients first, and I just wanted to let everybody know that, that when I see a patient in their, that bed, I see it as my family, because that's what I want. I want someone taking care of me the way they see their family. And that's why I see about putting it forward. And I believe that's all that I have to say.
Okay, thank you. Board members.
Mm-hmm.
think that there's a lot of discussion that still needs to be had related to the marijuana program in the state of Arizona surrounding those people who are given that privilege for that card. My concern would be at any point in time, if the RCP is ever altered while providing care, then I have concerns. To me, it's not illegal to have a card. He has a valid card that's in our file. It is a violation of the hospital's policy, according to Kingman Regional.
But
as a personally, my opinion on it is I don't see a. He legitimately holds a valid card to utilize marijuana.
Except it's not federally accepted and isn't federal.
But we're not a federal board.
Well, no, I understand that. I don't know. This is not. We're going to see a lot of these.
I think there needs to be more discussion on it.
So what am I going to do with Mr.
May I offer a suggestion?
Mm-hmm.
In your framework, regulation, statutes, and rules, does the board feel collectively or individually feel that this rises to the level of unprofessional conduct when conducting the profession of respiratory care?
I think if it was a four-cause drug screen, in my opinion, if it was a four-cause drug screen to where they felt that the RCP was impaired at the time that they were testing him, then I think we'd be having a different conversation. But because this was a random screen that he voluntarily participated with, he has a valid document from the Arizona Department of Health Services that states it's legal for him to use this substance.
Is there a... Was the drug screen in here?
Yeah, it is.
It came from the facility.
Yeah, it's in there.
It's on page... It's right here. Page 15.
So, narrowing this down, they have a drug-free workplace policy. Violated that policy.
Yeah.
And he was terminated.
And he was terminated. And I'm not willing to leave it at that myself. I think a non-disciplinary letter of concern for violating that you violated the drug-free workplace policy is appropriate. That's my suggestion or my thought right now. And just leave that at that. And the reason that I didn't go beyond that, because I have some pretty strong feelings about this whole thing, the medical marijuana issue in and of itself, I didn't go beyond that, was because of the notation on his termination paperwork that says he's eligible for rehire as long as he understands what the policies are for that particular workplace. So I just threw that out there for
mm-hmm.
general discussion.
Okay, does anybody have a motion or any other discussion?
So he was terminated because he violated a hospital policy?
Correct.
Yes.
And drug-free workplace.
He's eligible for rehire.
Mm-hmm.
No patient harm.
Right. No prior issues. My other issue here is too is apparently so Jack, let me ask you this before I say something stupid. Keeping addresses and emails up to date with the board. I know that your actual mail address, I believe, has to be kept up to date, but apparently attempts to send him emails were unsuccessful.
Are you referring to a document within the?
Yes. Let me find it here real quick.
Off the top of my head, I'm not remembering the issue. My general impression is that RCP McGowan has been responsive to the initial complaint.
Right, I have.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
did we have an email that bounced?
Right.
And I include that as documentation within the file.
Right.
However, when we send out the initial, we send it by both email and regular mail.
Correct. So my question is?
There is no requirement to
keep the
email up to date currently in our rules.
Is it, say, the,
just
the address of record? Okay. Got it. Thank you.
My question is this. If someone were to test positive for a medication they have a prescription for, they would then send that prescription on to whoever's doing the drug testing, and that if it fell within whatever the range is, the therapeutic range, that positive would be turned to a negative. Does that not exist for a marijuana card?
I think that's the part where there needs to be further dialogue and further framework built around this program that I don't believe currently exists.
The MRO did file a report, as you can see, that I think that answers your question. MRO is a medical review officer that reviewed the results of the test, and as you can see,
where are you looking?
I am on, I'm on page 1023, but so that's different. We're going to have to resolve the paid issues.
With yeah,
because I'm.
Does anyone know what page it is on the individual
I'm
one?
I'm looking individually.
Yeah, mine's not loading. I know. I'm having trouble with it too.
Let's see. Is it towards the end of the packaging?
Yeah, it's
15 is the actual drug screen results.
And Madam Chair, members of the board, under the comments section, it does, indicate confirmed positive, but then it states valid AZ medical marijuana program card, and I'm not sure if that is in some way answering your question. And that may be a question that we just need to follow up with the testing agency to find out what exactly do they mean by putting that language in the report. Because that's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, if you're on a traditional prescription that's reviewed by MRO, you would see a negative on that report.
Right. That's kind of where I was going at.
With a valid prescription for that med.
Right. But if that process doesn't exist for a marijuana card.
I believe that's why you have the MRO review with the positive and the documentation of the card.
So knowing that I'm abstaining for today, I do have a piece to contribute, which is I was the head of an occupational health program before from a commercial construction company using the largest healthcare provider in the state, and they would mark it as a negative for if the individual had a medical marijuana card, it would come back as a negative. So they were responsible for presenting that card at the time of drug screening, and as long as they had the card at the time of the drug screening, then the test would come back negative to us, and that's how we handled it.
Okay.
My personal opinion is that he violated the hospital policy. The hospital took the action that they felt was appropriate. Us as a board regarding his licensure, I personally don't feel that for this particular case, I would move to dismiss.
Okay, so we have a motion. We have a motion and a second.
What's the motion for?
Dismissal.
Motion is for dismissal. And so now we're in discussion. And so if I'm kind of recapping what you were saying, it's because this was not a for cause. This was a random drug screen, and they're willing to hire him back again. So they as long as he understands the policy. That's where you're going.
Yeah. I'm not here to judge the hospital's policy or the actions taken by the hospital. That's between him and the employer. I can tell you that based on the records I have in front of me, he seems like an excellent employee. He has a valid card issued by the Arizona Department of Health Services for the marijuana program. He tested positive on a random drug screen that he complied with. It's documented by the physician that he does have a valid card. In my opinion, I see no reason to not dismiss.
Okay.
Is there any other discussion? All right, so all in favor of dismissal, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, say nay.
Nay.
Okay, motion passes 3-1.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming down.
Good luck to you. Okay, so it appears everybody else is here for CEUs, yes? Nobody else is on the agenda? So all of you needed to sign in when you came in. Did you sign in?
Just let us
know who you are. Okay. Okay, so the board will call the case of Kasmina Diak, case C003852-18-011896. And then we'll figure out who else is here.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is case number C003852. And can you pronounce your last name for me?
Yeah.
This is RCP Diak. She worked without holding a valid license to practice professional respiratory care on one shift. Her license expired on January 13, 2018, and she worked on January 15, 2018. The board received a mandatory report from the director at North Mountain Medical Rehab. RCPDAC did respond to this, where she admitted she did work without license. She had received a message from the director of respiratory care and asked me if she had renewed her license, in which she replied yes. I was notified by the director at that time that my license was in fact inactive. And in short, RCP Act stated that she confused her NDRC renewal and registration with her Arizona State Board license. When she found out about it, she applied for the renewal, which was granted. She's apologetic, and she's willing to accept full responsibility and consequences for those actions. I did write in the board report that there is previous disciplinary action in this particular license. There was findings of fact, conclusions of law in case number C003306-13-010529 back in, I believe, about 2013-2014, in which that license had been revoked. So I do not have any further staff report unless there's any questions.
I have one question. Is that why this person is going to consent for working without a license?
That is correct. It's a somewhat discretionary at the staff level, but if there are prior violations of any kind that might heighten the awareness of the board or any future disciplinary action, that's why we came to the board for review, because it's not just a standard working without a license case.
And then one more question before we get started with her is, back in 13 when that revocation happened, it was of a temporary license when she just hadn't followed through on providing information on a criminal history. That's what I was able to get from the information. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. Does anyone else have any questions for Jack?
It also went to the answers that were on that application, that original application and the disclosure.
But with her new application with this license, that was not an issue. Okay, thank you. Thank you for being here. You also will have 5 minutes to tell us anything you want us to know, and then after that we will talk amongst ourselves without conversation back and forth to you.
I confused renewing my state. This is my first year renewing my license. The initial license that I had that was revoked was like years ago when I first applied, and I never got into respiratory until about 2 years ago now. That's when I got into respiratory, and then reapplied for my license. So that was resolved when I saw you guys last time. Pretty much I got an email saying that I needed to renew my license, and I thought I was renewing it. It was kind of confusing, the whole process, and I thought I was renewing it, but I went to the NBRC site and went to re- reapplied to renew my license. I never renewed it before, and I made a mistake. My boss called me a few days after my birthday, the following week, and she said, did you renew your license? And I said, yeah, I renewed it. I thought I was proactive and renewed it, but apparently I came to the realization that I renewed the NBRC one instead of the Arizona State Board license. So she said that she was going to call you guys to file a complaint and that I should call too. And that very same day I called, I think I left I don't know how many messages on Kathy's voicemail, but I called, and then I looked online and it said that I had a window to apply in 7 days, I believe it was, for me to renew it before it was too late, and I did that. And like you said, I take full responsibility for it. It was my mistake, and I hope that I can get it resolved.
Okay, thank you.
Kathy, are all CEUs current 3/20?
All right, board members.
So, number of days worked without a license is
one.
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 Mm-hmm.
Our standard.
50-ish. 50-ish.
Didn't that change though?
I don't. No, it was the CEU ones that changed.
Correct.
Never
CEU,
mind. Yes,
yeah.
You're right. Okay. Payable.
So I'll make a motion that we offer a consent for a civil penalty of $50 for working one shift without a valid license.
Payable within
60 days.
60 days. Okay, so we have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Non-disciplinary.
Okay. So all in favor of offering a consent for a civil penalty of $50 for the one shift worked, payable within 60 days, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. That motion passes. I guess we should have said, and if not done, goes to an informal interview.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so yeah, sorry. I don't know if you were going to tell her what all that meant or if
yeah,
I was going to say it.
I just want to use.
Okay.
So ours interesting. We're going to be offering consent agreement for $50 for working without license. So staff will send that to you within the next week or so. If you choose to enter into that, you sign it, send it back to us, and this case is resolved. If you don't sign that consent agreement, we'll go to the next step in our process, which is and it's a non-disciplinary action. Okay.
Can I hear that today?
What's that?
Can I do that today?
No. We'll get the consent agreement signed first and take care of that, and you can pay for that down the road. Thank you very much for coming down today.
Okay, we're going to take a quick 5-minute bio break, and then we'll be back, and that will give you time to figure out who's here, because some of these are signed on the wrong sheet. After that, we will have a conversation amongst ourselves.
Okay.
So you are... There
okay.
You go.
On that night, I usually work until 5:30, and some friends of mine were meeting at a Mexican place, and I got up at 5, so I met them for half an hour. They were drinking jumbo margaritas. I had just the little ones, but I did have 1.5 of those, and then they kind of left my mouth feeling bad, so in the restroom, I gargled with mouthwash, which I later found out had alcohol in it, and I was shocked at the level that my test came back. You know, and the one possible explanation that could be is that I've had gastric bypass, and I'm metabolizing stuff different, and I never knew it because I've never been in a situation. I've been down in Arizona 15 years, and I can count on one hand and not use all the fingers amount of time that I would go out after work because I have my disabled husband at home. And during that time, I had everything that I was going had to do, who to contact and what to do, and I had the board on there because I knew I had to contact, you know, and started crossing some stuff off, and that must have accidentally gotten crossed off. And then I really didn't think lot about it because shortly after that, I found my husband unresponsive in his electric wheelchair. And I shook him to get him up. I even kind of whacked him in the leg with his cane. And so I had to call the ambulance. figured it was just dehydration.
Honestly, that was the scariest, and to have two life-altering events has really been difficult. I have, not only did I complete ahead of schedule the things I was requested to, but I have also volunteered. I started going to AA meetings near me. I haven't been mandated for anything. I haven't heard of another court date. I believe I'd be 100% right to know that I'll have a interlocker thing. I mean, I'm expecting that, you know. And with my husband's kind of deterioration, the first part of June, I'll be switching from full-time to one day a week so that I can help care for him. And other than thinking I did, I didn't, you know, for that I'm guilty. So, and that's all I've got. It's just the short truth.
Okay, thank you. And did you, I know we're not supposed to have a conversation, but it's about the date. Did you say that the pretrial date, pretrial conference on 2/27 did not happen?
I don't know that it did. I haven't heard from my attorney, so
okay.
That will be something that I'll have.
Is this your first DUI?
Yes.
And she's already enrolled in AA classes. Do we have any evidence of the attendance of AA?
No.
Michelle, is that how a pre-trial conference is not for, is it only for the attorneys? I'm just curious.
It depends on what the court policy is.
Okay.
I mean, sometimes some courts require that the defendants be there, some don't. And I noticed here on Judge Little, she said that, you know, it could be done telephonically. So sometimes it's just an attorney calling into the prosecutor.
Got it.
And making up, you know,
and then
seeing where they're at with the case.
The attorney gets back with the client.
Right.
So if that happened on 2/27 and it is now 3/15.
There should be there should be a new court date somewhere.
Okay.
But again, it's a first offense, so.
Right.
I'd be interested in knowing what the outcome of the hearing is.
Yeah. Okay, so.
Well, this is a first offense. Traditionally, we've allowed the courts to handle it, so I'm not really quite sure what we're going to gain by. I mean, I can tell you the worst outcome, but it's a 1-5. Traditionally, those get dealt down to a lower. It's still a DUI, but many times they deal them down to a first offense at a .08 or an influence charge. I don't know as prosecutor. I don't know what he or she might do.
And you're right, historically, what we've done with the first one is dismissed.
No matter what,
courts deal with.
Right.
We do have the non-reporting issue.
Correct, and we can deal with that. Mm-hmm. I have no problem with that.
So then breaking it out into two separate, I'll make a motion that we offer a consent for civil penalty in the sum of $250 for failure to report, payable within 90 days.
Non-disciplinary.
Second. Okay, so we have a motion and a second for that, so we're going to break this one apart. So we have a motion and a second for that. Any discussion? Okay.
Okay, all in favor of offering that consent for a civil penalty of $250 payable within 90 days, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, say nay. Okay, that motion passes.
May I ask a quick question?
Not yet.
Oh.
We're not finished yet.
Regarding the case with the DUI.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to motion that we dismiss and let the courts handle the initial DUI.
As a first offense. I'll second that also. Okay, so we have a motion and a second for dismissal of the DUI portion. Any discussion there? All in favor of dismissal, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, say nay. Okay, and that motion passes.
What was your question?
Do you want me, I don't know how to go about attending AA. I've been there.
So the way we're responding to that, so what the board has done is they've taken the case, they've dismissed
okay.
the stuff regarding the criminal allegation DUI. They're going to offer your consent agreement for resolution
yep.
of failure to
right.
self-report within the
yep.
required time, and it's done.
Okay.
As far as triple A.
Might need that too. Yeah.
AA or NA, anything that you're doing yourself or for the court, that's
you
up to your discretion.
To. Okay.
But that's all that's happening out of this particular matter. Thank you for coming down today. We appreciate
good
it.
Good luck to you.
Good luck.
Thanks.
Okay, moving on. The board will call Robert Perez, case C003850-18-007716. Good morning. Thank
Good morning.
You for being here.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is case number C003850. RCP Perez was charged with a DUI on November 4th, 2017. The board received a written self-report on November 16th of 2017. RCP Perez was arrested for one criminal count of DUI, liquor, drugs, and vapors. As of today, the board has not been notified of any final resolution in that matter. In addition, the board has not received any information concerning the alcohol testing that was at issue in the criminal case from the police department or the court. As far as not reporting within the required 10 days, the statute is a technical written notification, as is stated in the statute. RCP Perez states that he called the board several times, at least one of those calls is documented in the file within the 10 days, but we did not receive the written report until after the 10 days. So I think there's some discretion of the board there as far as whether or not you want to accept that report. I have nothing further. He did respond to the allegations within the required time as far as the complaint is concerned.
Okay.
I have nothing further unless there's any questions.
Okay, thank you. Similar to the others, you'll have 5 minutes to let us know anything you want us to know about this case. After that, we'll talk amongst each other, but not with you.
Okay. I would like to look back at it, at least myself, to see when I sent that email, because I made sure I was super paranoid about this whole situation, and I made sure I emailed, the first person I emailed was done within 10 days. Was it David? But I made an email to somebody and received an email back within 10 days of the initial arrest. So I myself at least would like to switch back to those dates. But my court date has been pushed back a couple times because the blood results have not come in yet. They weren't in. The judge did not have any of my information. They didn't know who I was. So it's been pushed back a couple of times. My next date will be on the 28th of this month. My attorney is currently working whatever he does to try to get this completely dismissed. Otherwise, I will keep you up to date as to everything I have with all the information. I'm here to show my willingness to cooperate and how serious this is to me. I understand that Arizona is a zero tolerance state, and I made a mistake. It was an isolated event. It's happened once. I've never been in any trouble with the the law or my license, period. I've been a respiratory therapist for over 10 years. This is all I've known as an adult. Since I was 20 years old, I've been an RT. Never had any issues, never even write-ups. I've been pretty good with the RT community. I'm currently with Cornerstone Hospital in Tucson. We just received the AZSRC Award, Hospital of the Year for Patient Care and Advanced Respiratory Medicine. I am what people around me would consider a leader in both the facilities I work with, as I do lead my other RTs. I have students and I train often with PCC, PMI, and have RT, LPN, RNs with me, alongside with me at all times. And I just know that me as an RT, I know what I do and what I care for. And as I said before, this is an unfortunate, isolated event that's never happened. I after working my shift, I met up with a business associate for dinner and three drinks with them and my wife, and we went home, and that was it, and it happened. So other than that, I don't really have too much more to say, and I would hope we could do whatever I possibly can to get this cleared and over with as soon as possible.
Okay, very good, thank you. Of course. Okay, board members. Jack, did you have something?
No, RCP Perez, I actually have the email right here, and you're welcome to check your email system, but the email that I got was addressed to the Arizona Board, dated November 16th at 12:13 p.m.
It was, if you don't mind me asking, you said 10 days, within 10 days?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, mm-hmm. Sorry. I was looking back at my personal notes here, and I thought it was 20 days.
That's fine. You had asked if you wanted to see the email, so I just
pulled it. I appreciate that.
But you stay that there's evidence that he had made a phone call to the board within a 10-day period.
I think, wasn't there some back and forth at the first of this when you first called the board? And I think the original message was within the 10-day time frame. I don't know if it's over a weekend or if staff just can get back to him for a day or two. But the initial contact that I remember was within 10 days.
Okay.
Just wasn't in writing.
Okay. All right, board members. Because we have a first offense here.
First offense DUI.
Mm-hmm.
I motion that we dismiss and let the courts handle it. And I have no concerns regarding the 10-day as I would accept a phone call to the board as being.
I agree. He made contact. Yeah, if we didn't get back to him or even if we did, if he made contact and left a message, I'm good.
So
and his
motion.
Written one followed shortly thereafter.
Right.
Okay, so we have a motion for dismissal.
A second.
And we have a second. Do we have any further discussion? Oh, sorry, I was ready. All in favor of dismissal of the case of Robert Perez, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, say nay. The motion passes.
Thank you very much.
And good luck to you.
Thank you very much. I'll continue to send you any information I get.
This way. There's I would ask your attorney for advice on that, but there's no requirement within the respiratory care board that you keep updating us on this particular matter.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay, moving on, the board will call the case of Bethany Vieira, case C003822-18-010719. Good morning. Thank you for being here.
Madam Chair, members of the board, and of note, we are recording the abstention on the vote, so when it's 4-0, it's going to be 4-0-1 with the abstention. That will be the House reflected.
Excellent. Okay. Thank you.
This is case number C003822, RCP Vieira, self-reported a DUI charge on November 2nd of 2017. Records received from the Mesa Police Department indicate that RCP Vieira, am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yes.
Thank you. Was arrested for two criminal counts, DUI liquor, drugs, and DUI drugs. Sorry, DUI liquor and DUI illegal drugs on January 22nd of 2016. The reference are page 5 and 7 of the Mesa Police Department report. Board did not receive any report initially until November 2nd, 2017. This particular DUI does include a drug influence evaluation that occurred at Mesa Police Department. At the time of the arrest, RCPPR indicated she was under physician's care and had several prescription medications that was available to take. And RCPPR has failed to provide a response to the initial complaint notification. She did self-report that she was arrested and gave details about that.
Do we have the date right in the self-report?
Yeah, I don't think so. That's what I stuck on. Mm-hmm. So other than that, I don't have anything further unless you have additional questions. Under the report, there is a board history that does disclose some prior information on her. I think that might have been her original application for licensure, which was from around 2012.
Okay, thank you. You also will have 5 minutes. Tell us anything and everything you want us to know about this case. After that, we'll have conversation amongst ourselves, but not with you.
Okay, sounds like there's three different angles here. The first is the date on the self-reporting, November 2nd, 2017. That is correct. What happened is I was on a travel assignment. I've been traveling for a year, and on these travel assignments, specifically the first one I was on, I spent 6 months in Hawaii, so I didn't bring my car with me. My car's been in storage for the last year. I went on another assignment right after, spent 6 months there. I was put up right next to the hospital. I got to walk to work every day. My car's been in storage for a year. So that date is correct because whenever I got my car out of storage to get my tags renewed, that's when I found out that in 2016, I had been charged by the state, not even the arresting officer. I was not charged at the time. And then I was told the blood work will be processed and that can take up to 6 months. So after that 6 months passed, I did not hear anything from the court system at all. I did not think that I was prosecuted. So then I went on this travel assignment, another travel assignment, a year goes by, and then I find out this is a pending situation. The vapor levels are well below legal limits. The blood levels were well below legal limits, and the prescription medication, I had only taken one. I have taken it as prescribed. It was a valid medication, and that also was in the therapeutic range. So the trials, I'm setting it to trial. I'm going to, I think I have a defensible case because all of the levels were all under legal limits, and the officer that pulled me over, there were two indications that I should be pulled over that had nothing to do with my driving ability at all. He saw that I had a headlight out. He turned around, got behind me, and this is again in 2016 when my tags were expired by a month. So he pulled me over for those two reasons before he ever noticed any impairment with my driving at all.
Wasn't there something to do with you being in a bicycle lane?
Oh, that was the only, based on the officer's report, that was the third thing he noticed and right. Was what did have him turn his lights on and pull me over was that my right side of my car was driving the bike lane.
Thank you.
Anything else? Only because you still have time.
I guess I'll add, I do think that the reason why my car was more in the bike lane had to do with the visibility, one having a headlight out, and that happened from a car accident that kind of dented my hood and didn't make it very easy to see over it. But yes, that's everything.
Okay, thank you. Okay, board members.
I personally feel that there's still an issue with the failure to report. I understand that she may not have been aware of the charge at the time, but she certainly was aware that she had a DUI or was arrested at the time that it occurred. And so, to me, she
had an obligation at that time that she was arrested to report to.
Right.
That's a state where you had been charged.
Right. If she put it on a renewal app, her renewal app, she knew it existed.
Exactly. So, regarding that, I would offer a consent for civil penalty in the sum of $250 for failure to report, payable within 90 days, non-disciplinary.
And that was motion?
Yes.
Oh, second. So we have a motion and a second for at least a portion of this with a consent for 250 failure to report, payable within 90 days. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Okay, that motion passes.
This is not her first offense. So I'm leaning towards an informal with a consent for probation to stand over supervision.
Did you tell us the date of your trial?
The next date is set for March 20th to set the trial date.
So that probably won't go to trial for several months. Is that how that works?
Maybe. It might be up to 60 days after that date.
So maybe May-ish, end of May? So which means, Alan, to your point, we would see an informal interview before, right?
If she didn't sign the consent for standard orders of probation.
Okay, so you're looking to do a consent
for standard order of probation,
and if not signed, we go to an informal interview.
Correct.
Okay. Well, was that a motion or just talking?
No, I was just talking.
Okay. Just want to make sure I'm clear. Were you going to say something?
I was gonna. I think we want to go to a hearing. We go to the next level hearing first.
Well, I mean, it's kind of.
Let me either or.
I'm sorry.
It was either or, I think.
Right. It doesn't matter which way
you
word it.
Oh, okay. If she did not agree to the consent.
Right. Gotcha. Okay, I'm with you now. Okay, so then we would need a motion.
So I'll make a motion that we offer a consent for a standard order of probation. And if not agreed to, then we move to an informal.
Okay. We have the motion. Do we have a second to that?
Yes, a second.
We have a motion and a second. Do we have any discussion? Is that a no or a no? Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Okay, that motion passes.
So RCP here, so what the board has done is they're offering you two consent agreements. In their opinion, did not report within the 10 days because of the arrest. So they're offering you a $250 civil penalty to resolve that allegation. The second thing is they're offering you a standard probation, standard rehabilitation probation agreement, which is a non-disciplinary action. It's a 3-year term and it's going to include random drug testing, AA meetings. There's a laundry list of things that you would have to comply with. We will send that to you. You'll get a chance to review it, decide whether or not you want to sign those. If you don't accept those, we'll have what's called an informal interview, which is the next stage of our review process. That would be held. You'll receive notice. That would be held in the next several months. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much for coming down today. Appreciate it.
Good luck. Okay, the board will now call the case of Ashley Lloyd, case C003830-18-008435. Good morning. Thank you for being here.
Chair, members of the board, this is case number C003830. The allegation is that RCP Lloyd failed a random continuing education audit. We've received 11 hours that we consider approved continuing education. RCP Lloyd did submit an additional 10 hours, however, they were not from the correct renewal time frame. RCP Lloyd did respond to the initial allegation. Her response is included with a typo on the year or the date, 2016. But she basically explains what was going on in her life during that time, that two-year real time frame. And again, that is in your materials and in the report. I don't have anything further unless you have any questions for me.
Okay, thank you. Very similar. You'll have 5 minutes. I think you've kind of heard the drill. After that, we'll talk amongst ourselves, but not back and forth with you.
Okay. So, like you mentioned, in 2016, I took a job in sales away from the bedside, in which it led to different opportunities away from respiratory care. So at that time, I did not have all my CEUs in compliance when I did my renewal, and that was an oversight on my part, and I do apologize to the board for that, because having this experience today has helped me see that you have to be very meticulous when it comes to these types of things. And it's something for the respiratory care profession to be held in a way of honor to have your CEUs turned in time. So this has helped me to understand that this won't happen again, and it was a lapse on my part of having those CEUs not have the complete amount. So I thank you guys for hearing my case.
Okay, thank you. I guess my question to you, Jack, is why not the standard consent when this came in?
I didn't have a time frame. I don't have a specific reason.
Okay, all right.
So did she sign
that? I think part of it, I'm sorry, part of it is the response. So you have a rule that allows the board to give exceptions for continuing education. However, normally that has to be requested before we get to the audit point. So I think there's some discretion with the board. Something like this is going on in someone's life, that you can grant exceptions for continuing education. So I think the board has discretion whether to do that after the fact or not. It's just not something that we've done very often.
Okay.
So I think that's why it's not just a standard consent. And I had it reviewed by the board.
Okay.
So was a consent ever offered to RCP?
No, it does not appear that.
So how many are we short?
Nine hours.
And she submitted 10 hours, so she's made up for the ones that she's missed. They just weren't within the time period.
But they weren't in her licensing period.
That's what I mean.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So as far as the volume of CEUs, she's now current. The issue is that I have is that at the time of her renewal, she selected the box that says, yes, I've completed the mandatory number of CEUs at the time that she clicked process.
Right.
And indeed, she didn't.
Mm-hmm.
A lesson learned, indeed. And
hopefully.
The theory that your employer is responsible for providing an opportunity for you to obtain CEUs, that's on the RCP themselves. The RCP is the one who holds the license, not the employer. And whether you're in sales or whether you're in any profession outside of the field, if you choose to maintain your license, you need to get the CEUs. I would think the standard consent in this particular case for the missing 9 CEUs at the time of the audit. Is this her first renewal? No, she's been licensed since 08.
Right, correct.
So this is not her first renewal.
Right.
Do we have that algorithm for the CEU?
Remember, it's different whether it's a major renewal or not.
So it's $25 per hour if you've been licensed more than 2 years.
$225.
Okay, and 90 days?
So I'll make the motion that we offer a consent for a civil penalty for $225 payable within 90 days, non-disciplinary.
We have a motion. Do we have a second? Yes, I'll second. We have a second. Do we have discussion? wasn't sure if you wanted a second or a discussion.
No.
Okay. All right. So all in favor of offering the consent for a civil penalty of $225, payable within 90 days, and if not signed, then we move to an informal interview. All in favor of that, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, say nay. And that motion passes.
So we're going to be sending you that consent. If you have any questions, we'll receive it. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good luck. Now, is it fair to say that everyone's here is here for CEUs? Is anyone on the agenda still for an agenda item? Okay. And I'm just going to go to the top and work our way down. All right, so we will call the case of Ashley Adams, case C003802-18-010397.
Madam Chair, members of the board, before I start with this report, there was a request to postpone this matter that came in late, I think yesterday. I think I added it to the online board materials. It may have been added late, so you may not have been able to download it, but essentially RCP Adams asked for a postponement for various reasons. One of them was she was working today and didn't have time to take off, and some other personal issues that she'd been going through for the last couple months. So I wanted to offer that first before I gave the case review and see if the board wanted to entertain a motion to postpone.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
On page 2, under case description, it identifies a Ms. Hunsacker.
Yeah. It's her. That's an issue. Yeah.
Is this the same person?
Later on, she changes her.
Yeah, I know.
Yes.
But she didn't
just
tell anybody.
Thank you.
I had asked that, too.
I got that question several times. That was not a typo.
I'm okay with the postponement. I don't know how anyone else feels about it.
I'm good with it.
Do you need a...
Here's my theory on this. When I read this case description, I want to ask questions. And I'm not going to be able to ask questions at this stage. So I feel like we would just delay the process even further by moving it to an informal so we can ask RCP Adams questions. I would rather personally that we just move this directly to an informal. That way we have the opportunity when she does come to the board to be able to have that interaction.
I'm opposed to that. I'm good with that too.
Great. I'll make a motion that we move this to an informal.
I'll second that. We have a motion and a second. Do we have any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. All right, motion passes.
Just because it's you.
Okay, the board calls the case of Tina Barge, case C003825-18-006394.
Madam Chair, members of the board, I failed to ask for this to be removed from the agenda when we were going through the consent portion of it. I was doing something else. RCP Barge has signed a consent agreement to resolve the allegations in this matter. I did include it with your materials. I think that went out within the last day or two. So it has been resolved pursuant to the standard terms of a continued education.
Okay. So do I need to do anything with it?
No.
Okay. All right. Then we'll move on to the case of Andrew Hobley, case C003829-18-002592.
Madam Chairman, members of the board, this is case number C003829. RCP, I'm not sure if it's Hobley or Hobley, failed a random continuing education audit. We have not received any continuing education units, and we have not received any response from this respiratory therapist during the audit or complaint process.
Okay.
I move that we go to an informal.
Okay.
I second that.
We have a motion and a second. Do we have any further discussion? All in favor of moving this to an informal interview, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed, say nay. That motion passes.
board will now call the case of Matt Spencer, case C003840-1A-000000.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is an actual review of an allegation. This is not an informal interview. This is case number C003840, and it's kind of a little bit of a different allegation than I think what we've seen in the last couple of years. It's alleged that Matt Spencer has been given advice and offering recommended therapy changes on the internet and Facebook. The complaint alleges that Mr. Spencer has represented himself as an RT or sleep tech while not being licensed or registered. More of the initial complaint are included with the report. And Mr. Spencer did respond to the allegations by stating that essentially he is a sales manager for one-stop CPAP shop in Prescott Valley, Arizona. He does not have an understanding of the allegation against me. He does work for a DME in that area, and he does participate in online CPAP support groups as well as run the internet page for the company. He states that I do not tell people to change a pressure. In fact, I always tell people to talk to their doctor before making any changes. I do not give information that would require a license to dispense. There are times when I receive a specific question and I have my boss, who is a certified RPSGT, which is a registered polysomnographer, answer the questions. He goes on to say, if you have any other questions, please let me know. So we have an instance of an unlicensed individual who's represented himself as a representative from a durable medical equipment company. At the same time, he has Facebook and support pages on the internet where he is talking to patients who are asking him questions about pressures, changing pressures on CPAP, I'm not sure if a bypass machine was involved, but different medical equipment. So if it is truly an unlicensed person who, for all practical purposes, could be actually practicing medicine, which would fall in a different jurisdiction. I did a little work in the supplemental material to find out the ownership of the LLC. That's included in your materials. I believe it's a gentleman by the name of Corey Johnson, who does not, I could not find any licensure history on that either. But if you feel that they are practicing medicine or respiratory care, it is an unlicensed situation, and we as a board do not have jurisdiction over an unlicensed person. That would be referred to a separate, either administrative civil agency, possibly DHS, or a criminal agency. However, with the facts that are in this case, I'm sure you can get a criminal, local, or regional criminal agency to even follow up on it. But that's just my opinion. Anything on that, Mark? No, I think
interesting. So I'm reading through here, and my personal opinion is I'm not seeing anything in these social media posts that to me would be anything other than a dialogue between two people. He clearly states that he would recommend following up with your provider. He's definitely sharing information. To say that he's practicing the profession of respiratory care, to me it just looks like he's answering people's questions. He's speaking to the facts of how CPAP works, how humidification works. I personally don't.
And several times he does say, you need to see your doctor, you need to talk to your doctor.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
I definitely think that well, to me, we have no jurisdiction, as you stated, over this individual. I would be cautious, I guess, about ever making formal recommendations for medication changes or something along those lines, but the Facebook or social media posts that I reviewed, to me, don't indicate practicing of the profession. They indicate that he's knowledgeable and he's sharing what his experiences have been or facts of how CPAP operates.
I mean, he does say in one of these, a few minutes ago I had a patient and her daughter in my office setting up a new BiPAP machine. As usual, I went over everything about the machine, supplies, cleaning it, fit her for her mask right here in the office. Is that respiratory?
As a sleep tech, though, aren't you responsible for fitting patients with their masks? He does state that he's a sleep tech. That's what they do.
The only hook that I even imagined in the entire fact pattern was whether or not there's a respiratory therapist. They're truly dispensing these devices. Is there a respiratory therapist or a licensed professional that's checking the script? And even then, we're not going to have jurisdiction because, you know, while it's a patient care issue, it's not something I think that's within our purview.
All right.
So,
what are we doing with that?
What are we doing?
If there's nothing that we can. Staff recommendation would be to dismiss it unless you feel there's a referral source of another agency that might want to look at it. And
are sleep techs licensed in the state of Arizona?
They are not licensed. They are registered by the National Board of Polysomnography. And the DHS rules in a couple places allow them to work in the sleep labs. As a registered polysom on a national basis, there's no state of Arizona registration or licensing with them.
Okay. To me, if I was the owner of this LLC, I think I'd be a little bit more cautious with this employee, considering that they are not certified, right? They're not the RPSGT. But for us as a licensing board for respiratory therapy, I'm going to dismiss.
Okay, so
we have a motion.
I'll make that a motion.
Second.
We have a motion and a second for dismissal. Any conversation? All in favor of dismissal, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Motion passes. We will move down to the case of Kimberly Stewart, case C003823-18-007914.
Madam Chairman, members of the board, this is case number C003823. RCP Stewart was charged with a DUI on August 27th, 2017. The board did receive a written self-report, however, that was received on November 6th, 2017. RCP Stewart was arrested for DUI in drugs or vapors. In connection with her self-report, RCP Stewart did include a copy of the plea agreement from the court. She pled guilty to one count of DUI. Court imposed 120 days jail time, 6 days suspended on successful completion of alcohol screening and any recommended classes. There was also the standard costs and fees that were associated with that plea. Board records do indicate that RCP Stewart has two other DUI convictions in her past. In July 2nd, 1992, on her original application for licensure, which happened to be a non-disclosure, that was filed on February 12th, 2007, and then also a citation for DUI on November 15th of 2011, which was a separate case before the board, and I was unable to find a final disposition in the board records or minutes for that matter. And that was on November 15th of 2011. So in other words, I have no idea what happened to that case. I can't find a file. I can't find anything in the computer database. I even did a search of all the shared, it just went.
Gone, nothing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I will add that is before I got here. So on March 8th of 2018,
nice.
On March 18th of 2018, I did search the public records and found case number 2017-03047, which indicates that RCP Stewart was cited for driving with a suspended license on December 18th of 2017. So that's just a general check that we do in public records to see if there's any other criminal things that were happening. The suspended license may have been from the 2016 or the August of 2017 DUI.
Right. That's what I guess.
So I have nothing further unless you have any questions.
Okay, thank you. There's a lot going on here.
Yeah. I'm going to motion that we move this to an informal.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second? I'll second it. So we have a motion and a second. Do we have any discussion? All in favor of moving to an informal interview, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Motion passes. Okay, we will call the case, the board calls the case of Deborah Tellez, case C003849-18-006158.
Madam Chair, members of the board, case number C003849. RCP Tellez self-reported an arrest for disorderly conduct on December 15th, 2017. Records received that she was arrested for committing one criminal violation of disorderly conduct, which is fighting by causing a serious disruption. The quote in the police report stated she was arrested for fighting by causing a serious disruption when she punched the victim in the head on December 17, 2017. The RCP Tellez did self-report it, and she did that on December 21st of 2017. RCP Tellez has failed to provide a written response to the initial complaint, and we have not been advised of the outcome in this matter. The report does discuss some more of her description of what happened and why it happened. RCP Tellez does have history here at the board. There was a consent agreement for a non-disciplinary civil penalty back in 2017, and the order should be attached for details. So it's non-disciplinary. I don't have anything further unless you have any questions.
Okay, thank you. Members, thoughts? There's no. I think the report said she was breaking up a fight between her daughter and someone else.
Well, that's what she says.
Well, yeah.
The police report doesn't substantiate that.
Been no response.
There's been no response. Nothing yes, there has been a response. Mm-hmm. I verbally talked to her on the telephone. I think when I sent out the initial complaint letter, and she said she had a court. court date coming up, but I don't have the final resolution or any outcome from her or the court at this time.
February 9th was the last court document in here, but when she was supposed to appear, and there's no information after that.
And I believe I did try to follow up with the court. Okay. I think I left a message, but because of the time frame, I haven't followed up.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Yes, second.
Motion and a second for an informal interview. Any discussion? All in favor of taking this case to an informal interview, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Okay, that motion passes. And the board will call the case of Carla Turan, case C003835-18-008074.
Madam Chair, members of the board, RCP Turan failed a random continuing education audit. We have not received any response to the audit letter or the complaint. So we don't know. So obviously she failed the audit, hasn't responded to us.
Okay.
How many was she short?
15.
Well, and the fact that she hasn't responded at all.
Yeah.
Page 10.
Okay. Are you getting tired of motioning?
I motion that we move to an informal.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Do we have any discussion? All in favor of an informal interview for the case of Carla Turan, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Motion passes.
Are you trying to tell me I'm talking to
her? Nope. Sometimes, just not right now. All right, we will move on to the case of Robert Thomas, case C003839-18-011885.
Madam Chair, members of the board, RCP Thomas forged his old NRP card and submitted a falsified document to a potential employer as part of their onboarding process for a travel assignment. And I'm not sure how, is it Arias Medical? I'm not sure I pronounce it. Arias Medical filed a complaint with the board on November 29th, 2017, alleging that RCP Thomas submitted a forged NRP card to them during the new employee onboarding process. RCP Thomas was not notified of the allegation in the complaint by email and regular mail. RCP Thomas did provide a response notification received on December 27th and states that it was with great shame that I need to tell you that I did this. At the time I did this, I had no idea what I was thinking. This is the stupidest thing I've ever done. All I had to do was send in my outdated NRP card and sign up for the class. I will comply with whatever the board decides to do, so I have no defense. RCP Thomas does not have any other prior complaints or actions with this board. I don't have anything further unless you have any questions.
Okay. Anyone besides us?
Good question.
Answer.
How did the forgery be identified?
Again?
How was the forgery identified?
So,
was it the employer that brought it to our attention, or was it the RCP that brought it to the employer's attention that said?
It was the employer that discovered for some reason the card he submitted, something wasn't right with the dates, was out of sorts. They called the person, the instructor was on there, and verified that it was a falsified card, and then terminated his employment and his assignment and reported it to us.
Wow, that's a hefty price to pay.
Just as ancillary board history, I remember two other cases where we've had a similar situation here. Both of those cases were resolved with a decree of censure by consent agreement. And they were both disciplinary.
Mm-hmm. I'm good with that.
I'm going to, yeah.
I'll make a motion that we offer a decree of censure.
No, you don't have to.
of censure.
Disciplinary decree of censure.
So we have a motion.
For forging documentation.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor of decree of censure, say aye.
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 Any opposed, say nay. And that motion passes.
And by your motion and vote, I am assuming that if the consent agreement is not signed, we're going to inform Winter.
Yes. Sorry.
We want to go directly to here.
Frankie would be very angry at us for not doing informal.
Frankie is.
What does Mr. Harris have to say?
However, if Mark can give us a little advice at that point.
Yeah.
Frankie would say.
You need to follow the steps. That's what she would say.
She made it.
One thing at a time.
He's going to
inform.
Thank
you.
Yeah.
Michael, Frankie Shin Edward is our normal assistant attorney general, so she's just not here today, so.
We have her worthy substitute.
Okay, we're getting there, everyone. Let's call the case of Joshua Zosiah, case C003819-18-012497.
Chair, members of the board, this is case number C003819. RCP Zosiah was charged with three criminal counts of DUI on October 13th of 2017, including extreme DUI. The board received this report of the arrests on October 16th of 2018.
That hasn't happened yet. That's forecasted. October of 18 hasn't
October
happened
17.
Yet.
I apologize. October 16th, 2017. I have to talk to my assistant if this is
I'd say you need to have a big conversation with him.
As of today, the board has not been notified of any final resolution in this matter. RCP says I did self-report the matter within 10 days as required. RCP Zosiah responded to the complaint as required on January 29th. He admits that he was arrested for DUI. He displayed a certain level of remorse and states that he has abstained from alcohol since the time of the arrest. I don't have the conclusion of the criminal case at this time. He was invited both by email and regular mail through this meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Was the 5th of March with the motion continue filed. That's the case is getting a little long in the tooth. I would assume it'd be pleading or setting it to trial pretty quick.
Okay.
So this is his initial.
And you have no prior, you said?
No, yeah. I'm not seeing anything here that indicates a prior.
Well, I'm not sure, given the public access, that that would show up, the allegation of a prior conviction. You'd probably have to see that within the actual records from the court. This is a public access.
Say that again?
I said the public access may not mirror what's in the actual court record at Scottsdale City Court. So there, if there was an allegation that there was a prior conviction, it may not show up in this recitation of the events that they call the ROA, the Register of Actions. So it's hard to tell whether or not they found one or not. And he doesn't say one way or the other.
According to 82,
speeding ticket that was in 2014.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it doesn't.
Well,
the issue though is if he has a conviction from another court for DUI, the state has to allege that he has that prior. And it's done just in a document, in a pleading, and the court would note somewhere probably that the state has alleged it. So it may not show up in the public access. It will show up in the ROA from the court itself, but not necessarily public access, if there is a problem.
And to comment on the, at the top of the report, if you, at the caption, I have a current PACER search.
Mm-hmm.
Public access search. When I say none significant, that means that there may be other ancillary traffic tickets,
right. Yeah,
or things on there which
sure.
are not necessarily pertinent to this case. So that's why none significant
and
is there. That's probably the traffic tickets mm-hmm. you're referring to.
So my theory is that we would handle this the same way we would handle on the initial DUI.
Yeah.
That's their deal, though.
Right.
That's not
right.
Deal. Okay, so.
I'll make a motion to dismiss.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Sure, I'll second that.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor of dismissal of the case of Joshua Zosiah, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. And the motion passes. And the board will call the case of Laura McMinn, case C003831-18-011243.
Chair members of the board, RCP McMinn failed a random continued education audit. We have not received a response. There is a prior in this case for continued education on the late renewal back in. It was 2015. The order was terminated because she complied with the terms of that order, but she did not have the correct number of CEs when she had that late renewal. She entered into a non-disciplinary consent agreement, civil penalty. She subsequently got randomly audited again. We received no response on the allegations in this case. There was at least one email contact to and from the board where she was wanting to find out if she had extra CEs that were contained in the original case.
You're kidding.
No, which I assume she was trying to use for this audit. So that is documented, but we have no response to our continuing education audit.
Okay, thank you.
So this is repeated behavior.
And when was it, 2015?
I believe the renewal was 2015, but the case is marked as a 2016 case. And it was not resolved and terminated until 2017.
Mm-hmm.
I can get you exacts. I'm pulling from memory. And
that's okay.
Is that a
month?
Right. Yeah.
I'll second.
So we have a motion and a second to go to an informal interview. Any discussion? All in favor of going to an informal, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, say nay. And that motion passes. Okay. Double check your list, everyone, because there was a lot here. I think I covered everyone under R2.
You did.
Okay. So are we moving to R3, executive session?
We are not, Madam Chairman, I support. I would not, it's not necessary for us to do an executive session. I wanted to document, and I did not include it in your materials because I want to try to figure out how to. We got a memorandum from the Attorney General's office on board member training. It's a rather lengthy memo. So Frankie spent a lot of time putting it together, and I wanted to let you know that you're going to be receiving that from me. I will put it on the next meeting so that Frankie can talk to us against legal advice.
finalized on that mandatory board member training.
Was that the online one?
No.
We just did? That's something different.
This is, so the memorandum is not inclusive of any training we've been doing or have tried to do. There's a statute on the books that requires new board members to have 12 hours.
Yes.
12 hours of training in board governance and administrative law, that sort of thing. This memorandum covers that and details what her advice is to this board regarding that training. Just generally, and board member Beller, when that statute came out a couple years ago, we've continually done training just about every year. So there's a mandatory 12-hour training, and you'll be receiving information from me on that in the very near future. There's at least one specific board of commissions training that's an online training from the governor's office, and then we have a different training track where the attorney general's office provides training at board meetings, and then we also use two organizations, one's called CLEAR, one's called FARM, which are national organizations for board commission governance, that sort of thing. So you'll be getting some more information on that in the near future.
Thank
so
you.
I just want to make you aware that this memo is coming.
Okay.
It's about a 10-page memo or something. It's very lengthy and detailed.
Okay.
So she spent some time on it.
All right.
Do you want me to cover my report?
Sure.
As far as budget, I've included the roll-up reports for the budget and appropriation. They're in your materials. As far as appropriations is going this year, we're right on track. We've got about a 10% cushion from our appropriation right now at the end of the year. So I'm not expecting us to be close like we were last year. I'm happy to answer any questions anybody has on budget. Any?
Do we contribute that 10% to staffing changes?
No, the 10% is a cushion that no. So it's a yearly appropriation that does not roll over. I always plan 5 to 10% of our total budget for stuff that may come up unexpected towards the end of the year. So it's a use it or lose it. If we don't use it, it just goes back into our cash balance. We try to get real close to that every year without going overboard, because if you don't use all your appropriation, you may not get the same appropriation the next fiscal year.
Right.
So we're right at, generally we're about $300,000 a year for this agency, and I usually roll it up right to that. Just about every year. So at the end of the year, we may buy some supplies,
mm-hmm.
envelopes, you know, paper, stuff like that. So as far as the cash balance, with that fee increase, we're doing well with the cash balance right now. We're not in jeopardy of running out of any cash either. The enforcement matrix memorandum. I got a little sidetracked this morning. Didn't quite get it completely drafted, but what are we going to do with people who fail to respond to initial complaints? Board asked for a policy several months ago. I always put it on the agenda because it's a placeholder, just knowing that we haven't quite gotten to review that policy yet. So we're going to have to put that on next month's meeting. Kathy, would you do application
mm-hmm.
reports, please?
Okay, I would also like to give you an update. We just finished our fourth quarter 2017 audit. Okay, we went ahead and we randomly selected 54 people. Out of that, 42 passed. 12 failed, with 12 of those, 7 never responded.
Wow.
I'm happy
that's
that.
I agree.
Yeah.
Man,
how do you just not respond?
So, let me interrupt real quick. We need to put this on the next.
next agenda or in a month or two. Part of the Auditor General's report was a three-stage process. We were to change our continuing education matrix, up the civil penalties, which we did, and then we changed our rules to be able to accept more continuing education from a broader base.
Yep.
Those two things have been done. The stats, while they have gotten a lot better since we first started this, we still are having people that are not doing their continuing education. As a board and a policy decision, we need to decide if random auditing is working.
Mm-hmm.
Or we just start requiring submittal of 20 hours before you renew. I guess the way the industry used to do it 10 plus years ago. Because your staff is leaning in that direction because while it's getting better, people still aren't doing it. So if we require all 20 hours before we renew a license, they have to get it or they're not going to get renewed and they're not going to be working.
Great, correct. I've said that for years, but the holdup was always that was going to cause so much paperwork here at the office.
Well, so let me comment on that real quickly. The reason it's more opportune right now is further down in my, I have an e-licensing update. So I remember I told you we went in with a couple other agencies, we're getting a new system with some more bells and whistles. This system will allow us to accept that continuing education in at the time of renewal electronically. So you submit your renewal application, you upload either a list or scans of the certificates or both. We review all of that before we decide to issue the renewal.
Yep.
Now I don't have it on the agenda today, but I can put it on next month's agenda.
Please do that if you
want to do that. You know, we can roll that out over the next 6 months or a year, try to get some notice to the industry and all those changes, and go from there. So, anyway, thank you. So those complaints that Kathy was referring to, just filed, initial allegation letters will go out probably tomorrow, no later than the end of next week.
Okay. And as rest of my report went ahead and pointed out, we're actually in a little low right now. We only have 111 pending applications. Usually we're in the 150s or 60s by this point. This month we did go ahead and we issued 62. Our fee waiver applications actually were up. We had 9 for the month. On those stats, I said only about, 4 were approved and 5 were not approved. As far as that goes, we had no volunteer registrations the last couple months. Late renewals that were pending was 7. The ones that actually were approved were 16. We closed 11 cases for at least the 210 days where people did not finish their applications whatsoever. And one of them was a 60-day, which means that they sent in for renewal, never completed that process. Most of them are getting where they thought they still had 2 years to renew, and they only have that 90-day window. So they either have to go back and accommodate that, or they just choose not to renew. And we have one person who just decided they didn't want to play anymore because they don't have an RRT. So I still get a couple of those applications. They didn't realize our requirement had changed. So when you only have a CRT, you can't apply in Arizona anymore. As far as our time frame go, everything is still pretty much par. Everything is averaging about 1 day.
Wow.
So I said, all the changes we're going through and our increase in staff and the changes we've gone through, we're still at getting everything done, reviewed, letters sent out, it's all averaging 1 day.
So if a RCP has an expired license and they are a CRT, they are no longer eligible to renew unless they are RRT credentialed, correct?
If it's expired, yes.
After
the
90 days
of
expiration.
So there is a grace period.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you are correct. So if you allow your license to expire, not renew it within the time frame, the 90 days, you have to obtain an RRT credential.
Great.
As a minimum level of competency to get a license.
I like it.
And thank you, Kathy.
Uh-huh.
Staff introductions, and I apologize for not doing this sooner. We have a new staff member, Charlotte Muhammad, is in our administrative assistant two position now. She started with us.
March 1st.
How long ago was that, Charlotte?
14 days.
2 weeks, exactly.
And she has hit the ground running. We now thankful for her to be here. She comes to us from the Board of Accountancy. She's already got our file room organized with labels on it and all kinds of great stuff. So we're thankful to have her. Thanks, Charlotte.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
And as far as the move, you know, there's been a lot going on. So we're actually starting. I still have boxes on to my office, but the move is pretty much done. So all the equipment seems to be working correctly. Our IT is on firm ground now, so we're in place and up and running. Big change with security in the building, the windows down at the front. So a lot of our customers are getting used to the difference of not being able to walk into our office and have us right there to answer questions. So we're getting some policies in place to be able to handle that sort of thing.
So what do you do if somebody comes in and wants to speak to you or to Kathy? Do they call up?
So there's two things that should be happening. So number one is we have one window. We are training that person on what we do at Respiratory Care. We need to give them some scripts,
mm-hmm.
standard customer scripts, which are not done yet, to be able to assist those customers with basic questions on the front end. If there is a question that they can't answer, the person at the window will call us, and we'll either go down and greet them, answer the questions, bring them up to the office, and process what's going on here. Did I miss anything?
Nope, that answers my question.
I was looking at Kathy.
Oh, sorry. I was looking down.
What's that? We're discussing e-licensing, Mark. I guess we're getting off the agenda.
Yep.
So we're given a board update status on application investigations, probation reports.
Perfect.
And
yes.
We get back to that.
Moving on to number four.
Yeah.
Let's see. So probation reports. We have currently have 29 people on probation in various forms. You'll probably be seeing at least four that I know of at our next meeting where potentially they violated probation, not done in terms of probation. As far as open complaints, we have a total of 40 right now. That does include the 15 new continuing education allegations. We've got a couple that are great at, if you look at the report, the couple that are yellow there are right at the 90-day time frame. So we need to get those rolling next month. But I was contemplating going every other month for a board meeting, but we have to have the April meeting to get some of this stuff reviewed. Those are right at the priority 3 time frame for processing through our system. I don't have anything else to report unless the board has any questions. 2018 legislative update, very quickly. I had approached Senator Bartow to get one or two statutory changes, namely the change in our statute to allow respiratory therapists to take orders from physician assistants and advanced nurse practitioners. I have gotten no ground moving forward with that. Senator Bartow did not open a folder within the appropriate time to get her own bill, and her staff are now looking for a vehicle bill to try to get it in to the legislature. I can just tell you it's probably not going to happen this year. Okay? So unfortunately that's the way it works. There would have to be a bigger lobbyist somebody else that was pushing it right now would probably try to get it. It's going to be an uphill battle to get a vehicle that legislation this year. So if it doesn't happen, we'll have to start a little earlier next year to try to get that in. executive order 2018-2. This is a new executive order from the governor's office regarding regarding licensing as far as regulations that are burdensome, that sort of thing. It includes tracking. It requires us to notify and ask for permission for any new administrative rules coming through the agency. I did give you a roll-up on that, and it requires reporting on various aspects of that order to the governor's office, one of which we've already reported on, and that's the fee waivers. So they have a new director for regulatory stuff who's keeping track of that. So we've already reported how many fee waivers we've given from the previous executive order on the same issue. So that is in your materials if you want to take a look at it. But right now we are complying with those mandates. And then the last thing I have is the e-licensing update. All I can say is that the amount of staff time that's taken to participate in this project is astronomical. And it's a direct result from the amount of money that was put into the project by the 13 boards or some that are working on it. The outcome, we're supposed to go live with this mid-April. I would be surprised if we hit that go live goal, but it's not going to change the face of our web page. It's going to change everything and the metrics that are behind it as far as licensing investigation and so forth. It is an extremely robust system, and if utilized properly, it will save a lot of staff time in many areas. The struggle is the amount of programming time and the money that's being put into it from the programming time because of the money limitation at Asset and us. So we put in $44,000, all the other agencies are about that. That doesn't add up to a whole lot of money for the amount of programming that needs to be done. So the company that's the vendor that's doing it is only allocating so much resource to get the program. Well, guess where all the other allocation is going? It's going to the agencies and the directors that are spending a lot of time doing the scripting and so forth. So when it's done, I think it's going to be fantastic. It's just getting to that end. And I'll be very surprised if we don't push up right to the end of the fiscal year on it, just because of the volume of work that's with it. But you'll be seeing extremely detailed reports on licensing. Time frames. It has a lot of neat bells and whistles, and eventually licensees should be able to log in, get a copy of their wallet card online with a credit card. They should be able to log in and see where they are with the licensing process, like a balanced scorecard,
mm-hmm.
right in front of them, with a time right beside it with red, yellow, and red when they haven't gotten back to us. Eventually we'll get there.
Very good.
So, I don't have anything further. Anybody else? Mark? And thank you, Counselor.
I'm on the agenda.
All right, we will move to R5, which is call to the public, and that allows anyone out in the audience to have 5 minutes to address the board, should you choose to. Please understand that we cannot speak to you about anything because it's not on the agenda, but if you have anything to say, now is your opportunity. Anyone? No call to the public. Okay. That brings us to R6, item 3 placed on future agendas. And one of the things we need to put on there is about submitting CEUs with renewals. Yes, Jack?
Yes.
Sorry?
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about personal medical information. I can't divulge.
Okay, well, we're on R6.
Okay. Call the public?
No, we already did that.
Fine.
Things
you
to put
it.
On future
you
agenda, which we want to put on there about the CEUs.
CEUs.
Being
at
submitted with.
Submit with renewals, like we used to do.
Anything else for on the agenda, future agendas?
And the rollover on the reporting.
Yeah.
Failure to report in 20, or failure to respond.
Oh, I think that's
yeah.
it. Yeah, he keeps that on there.
Yeah.
Okay, yep. Okay, Okay, anyone else have anything?
Anybody learn anything today? Okay, good. Thank you for coming down. What happens now is that if you're signed in on the CE sheet, you'll get a certificate from us within the next week or so to use as your certificate for continuing education. Includes 2 hours of your mandatory ethics, but you get a total of 4. Was there a question, Victor?
Oh, I was just wondering, are you guys going to put on, do you have like a new record site? It was hard to find parking today, so I'm not sure where we're supposed to park that to come in here. So I know it mentioned on the old site where to park, but here, like, I mean, several of us were kind of having a hard time finding where to park here, so I hope you can put it on the board.
That's great feedback. Thank you very much. I think we used to have a map when we were at the other address, so we can get something like that, a little Google map with the parking on there. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, we are adjourned at 11:48.
Yay. You too, welcome.
So you will definitely be comparing notes.
You'll get used to it after this.
Sure.
I'm trying to get out my phone and looking up my list. I'm trying to look up the website.